This is Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous, In Depth.
Hey guys, it's Ashley, and I'm joined here by the woman of the hour, one of my favorite bachelorettes ever, and there's only been two episodes thus far, Hannah Brown.
Hey y'all.
Yay. All right, Hannah, before we get into it, my first question to you is, I keep equating you to that girl in high school who like was not smooth with guys, who like would see her crush walking down the hallway and you'd like duck.
Turn the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'd look into your locker. You're like, I don't see him coming. But was this you, or am I making up this illusion of you?
Okay. I'll tell you, high school Hannah.
Okay.
High school Hannah was SGA president, homecoming queen, all these things.
Okay.
But
so not that shy.
So not shy, but when it came to boys,
okay.
No, I didn't have my first kiss till I was 17. I only had one and a half boyfriends in high school. and it would take everything in me to actually look at them going down the hall when I first liked them.
Okay.
And in class, I was known as the whole school talked about me as like untouchable, because I just would be like, don't talk to me. Turn the other way. They're looking at me. They're looking at me. I should start writing my name. It was so bad.
Okay, great. Yeah. So my dream is a reality.
Yeah.
You are that relatable girl.
No, yeah. I put them in friend zones. Like, I would be friends with the guys when they started flirting with me.
Okay.
No. I got awkward.
Really?
Yeah.
You friend zone guys that you liked?
Yeah, because I would just hang out with them, shoot the bull, you know? And then when they started flirting, I'd be like, oh God, never.
So then how did it happen that you started dating your first boyfriend? Was it 17?
Yeah. He was best friends with one of my best girlfriends. And so we would all hang out together. Mm-hmm. And then somehow he told the friend that he liked me, and he started texting me. And then I don't even remember our first date.
Man, if I had texting in high school.
Yeah, it was all because I was hanging out in a group and then realized that he liked me, but also his friend liked me too. It was very, you know, I just had to pick the favorite.
You had that one serious boyfriend, though, for a while, and mm-hmm. that was your only serious boyfriend going into The Bachelor, right?
Two serious boyfriends, one for, like, for a while, and I met him in high school. I remember the first time I saw him in ninth grade, and I turned around, and his name was called in class, and I came home, and I said, Mom, I'm going to marry him, and she was like, oh, my gosh. So then how we started flirting was playing cards in Spanish class, and
met both boyfriends in high school.
No, just this. That was the first boyfriend we don't talk about because he was
nothing. Okay.
Yeah, nothing. Okay. And stupid. And then after that, we didn't talk at all because his girlfriend, weird stuff. He started dating a girl that didn't like me. So I didn't talk to him from ninth grade until senior year in high school. And then we had our next class together. We didn't have any other classes together until then. And he would just stare at me. His eyes were like attacking me. And so then he just texted me one day randomly, and I was like, oh my gosh. Anyway, we started dating in high school. We broke up for like a summer, and then we were together for like 3 years.
Aww.
And yeah, it was.
You didn't marry him, but you still
I thought
had
I was
something.
Going to.
You still thought you
Absolutely.
Were going to in your 20s?
Oh my God. Yeah. I broke up the next serious relationship. I'm in trouble. The next serious relationship I had, I ended up breaking that one off because I loved him. I loved that guy, but I knew I still loved the one that I dated for so long, and went back and told him, and then he was an ass. So it's fine. I'm here now.
Aww. And how far was that from when you signed up for Colton season?
Like a year and a half, I think.
Okay.
So honestly, after that, after I like put my heart out on the line and like ended a relationship that was going to be like, he was amazing. I I cannot date right now. Like, I need to get over both of these relationships now because I just ruined one for another guy that didn't deserve me. And so I was just like, not dating, not doing this, focusing on Hannah. And so I then won Miss Alabama USA like Woo-hoo! 2 months afterwards. And then I was just like, this is my year. And so I just focused on myself and like what I needed, what I wanted. And then the call for Colton Seasons came and I was like, you know what? I'm finally ready to date. And do I want to do this way? I don't know yet, but we'll just see where it goes. And obviously it went well, but yeah, I'm so glad that I had that time by myself, because I think since I was like 17 years old, I was always attached to a guy in some way.
Yeah.
And it was the first time in my life that it wasn't Hannah and somebody. It was just Hannah and figuring out, what do I like to do on a Saturday? And what type of movies do I like? And like, just me. And I just let a lot of guys validate who I was and what I did. And so it was really, really important for me to have that time and then be ready to go into this. I'm super thankful that I had that, now knowing where I am now, mm-hmm. because I learned from all those experiences, but also took the time to really dive into who I am, what I want, and what I want my life to be like.
What does Hannah do on a Saturday? And what kind of movies do you see?
Okay. My perfect Saturday would probably be to do some type of workout, but not too long, like a kickboxing, wake up, have breakfast. Then probably if it's summer, I'd want to lay out for a little while, because mm-hmm. I feel like that's an actual like job.
Me too.
I'm like,
it's like part of the beauty routine.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm doing something productive. I feel like I'm doing something productive.
I agree.
So read a little bit, maybe go on a boat, whatever, with one of my friends. But then, honestly, I would rather pour a glass of wine, be in my bed, and just watch Netflix. Okay. That's my perfect Saturday. Yeah.
Open Fit takes all of the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. Everyone's bodies are different, and OpenFit gets that, which is why it is personalized to your needs with custom-tailored original content. Amazing trainers and classes, OpenFit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. I mean, that's not just the U.S., that's not your state, that is the world. Get in crazy good shape with Hunter McIntyre, named by Sports Illustrated as one of the top 50 fittest athletes. Wish I looked like Hunter. My favorite class is 600 seconds with trainer Devin Wiggins, not Higgins, that's Wiggins. It's a 10-minute workout that is fat burning, muscle building, body sculpting, benefits of much longer sessions into a fraction of the time. That's 600 seconds, and you can access it anywhere, on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, or Roku. OpenFit has changed the way I work out. And with our code, AlmostFamous, you can join us on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Not anybody else, you. Again, use our code, AlmostFamous, and start using OpenFit for your journey to a healthier life. Look good naked. Use OpenFit. Right now, during the OpenFit 30-day challenge, our listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text Almost Famous to 303030. You get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, just text Almost Famous to 303030. It's the summer. You want to look good. You want to feel good. You want to be good. OpenFit is a way to do that. And who doesn't want to have a workout plan that you can access from anywhere? Make sure you text Almost Famous. That's the name of this podcast. Almost Famous to 303030. Looking forward to it. Do it today. BioClarity.
You've heard us talk about it many times before. We'll talk about it many times in the future. But listen up. BioClarity is a clean and green skincare brand that has products that just work. It's that simple. It's that time of the year to get back into healthier habits. And what healthy eating does for your body, oh yeah, BioClarity does for your face. Their skincare line offers easy-to-use regimens with good-for-you ingredients that will give you great skin. Have you seen Jessica's skin recently? It is glowing. I bet she would blame it on BioClarity. My favorite routine, though, is the Clear Skin Routine. It's for combination of oily or breakout-prone skin. It's a three-step regimen, gets rid of breakouts, clears and calms skin, and is packed full of detoxifying nutrients. It's also antioxidant and includes a super special ingredient only in BioClarity. Listen up. It's Floralux from plants. Their products are 100% vegan, cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free, and artificial fragrance-free. And also 100% risk-free money-back guarantee, meaning all that junk is taken out of it, leaving the good stuff for your skin. If you want to look good, get BioClarity. Get healthier, more radiant skin by going to BioClarity.com. Hey, Ashley's getting her skin prepped for the wedding. You know, that big thing she has coming up in August. She needs all the help she can get prepping for the big day, and BioClarity is just the answer for healthier skin. I'm telling you, go to BioClarity.com. And right now, our listeners, thank you first off for listening. And as a result, you're going to get 40% off on skincare routines, plus an additional 15% off everything on their website. That's an incredible deal. But you need to enter our code FAMOUS at checkout. So go to BioClarity.com and get 40% off skincare routine plus an additional 15% off everything on their website when you use our code FAMOUS at checkout. My skin's been feeling good recently. A lot of compliments on the skin. I thank BioClarity for that.
So would you consider yourself an introvert? Because I've been doing a lot of research between being an introvert and extrovert. And for all my life, I was like, oh, you're an extrovert. Obviously, you're like pretty social. You like the attention. But socially, especially as I get older, I realize that I'm such an introvert. Like, I need my alone time. And I can't go too long with socializing until I start getting really agitated.
Oh, my gosh. So I've taken all those tests and I'm like on the line of introverts, extroverts. Yeah. So like
an extrovert,
I know when I have to turn it on to be an extrovert, like when I have, because society is like made for extroverts. So I'm like, all right, I can do this.
Yeah.
But when I'm really by myself, my friends know that if they come over, I'll be like, all right, I love you, but I'm going into my room now to go to sleep. Like I just like, I have to have my alone time and it's necessary for me to function. So I feel like I really am like on the line of introvert, extrovert. But if I can choose and nobody's around me, I'm introvert.
Yeah. Okay. Like,
so yeah, I guess.
So same. Yeah. I think like successful people have to have like a certain component of extroversion, right?
You have to, yeah.
I guess there's some exceptions to that rule.
Yeah.
However, I was in Nashville with Jared this weekend at a wedding and I was with his friends for 10 hours and I was like putting on that smiley happy face for
when
so long and all the small talk, and at like 1:30 in the morning I was like, I'm gonna freak out, you know. I need that hole to go into right now. I can't do like the smiley happy thing anymore.
You know what I realized now? It's like I probably look more extroverted than I actually am, but I can't do the small talk for a few hours. So what I'll do is there's music on, I'm like, I'm going to go dance by myself because it's like, I don't want anybody around me. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Please stop talking to me.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah.
Bye.
I figured you were like this. So how was the bachelor process? How was being the bachelorette?
Ooh.
Because I think when you're on The Bachelor, even Bachelor in Paradise, you can go like fake a nap or whatever and get your alone time. You're like, I'm going to go write in my diary. That was my go-to. I'm going to like go journal.
Yeah.
But as the bachelorette, you have to be on like 16 hours a day.
Okay, you're getting into my biggest struggle.
Yeah, okay. I figured it. I thought this was going to be your
struggle. So on The Bachelor, I was the, like, I had great friends, and like I was always like in the group if I wanted to be, but they knew that I'd be like, all right, if we're just sitting and chatting, which is probably going to lead to gossiping, I just want to go into my room. And I would be in my room or out by myself. I had this certain couch. I used to, like, it's my couch in the Bachelor mansion. And I would go and I would journal. Like, I journaled every single day, my thoughts, what I wanted in a husband, what was going on. Like, I truly did have to have that time to journal. When I was in I loved interviews mm-hmm. on the Bachelor side, because that was just my time. I would go in there with a producer and I would be like, let's do the stuff we have to do. And then I just need to talk through it.
What you and I probably liked, and this is a sign of introversion, as I've recently read, that deep conversation is actually totally fine. Like, we can do that for a long period
forever.
Of time, but it's little chit chat that we can't do for a long time.
I zone out, don't care, hate it. So on that side, as a contestant, you have a lot of time to be able to do that. And then I would go hang out with the girls, but like, all my friends knew. It's like, oh, there she goes. She's out. She's taking a nap. She's about to journal.
Yeah.
So I had that time. But I didn't really realize until I got there that I don't have any of that time. I barely journaled. I never had alone time. There was no off days. There was no really therapy in my interviews like it ever was. I mean, we had a few days where we had to have therapy because homegirl was losing her mind,
right?
But
it was more narration.
It was this is my story. I want to narrate my story, and I would say I'm pretty good at it. So they wanted me to do it all the time, but then I was like, I need to talk about my actual feelings. Like, not even like, why do I react this way? It's because of this in my past. Like, that is what I need to talk about right now, because I'm spiraling. Mm-hmm. And I think it was all the times that I struggled so much were really because I didn't have the time that I needed away by myself. And we had to come to Jesus with everybody and realize that, like, Hannah has to have 30 minutes. Like, I have to. Or honestly, I'm a pain in the ass to deal with. Mm-hmm. So
30 minutes when? In the morning? In the middle of a period of time where it just says, I'm going to need 30 minutes in the middle of a date?
So there was this one time. I had to tell this one story. It's fine. There was this one day in LA was probably my biggest struggle. And I was getting ready for a cocktail party after a group date cocktail party. Mm-hmm. And everybody's just always staring at you. Everybody's staring at you while you get ready. You're eating while somebody's doing your makeup. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no time. And we had like 2 hours, but there's like 15 people in your room while you're trying to get ready. So it takes forever. Well, I was doing my hair and my producers were looking at me. I was like, why are you looking at me? I'm trying to do my hair right now. And I go, I'm just like being a crazy woman, which I am. And so one of my producers, Sam, looked at me and goes, I think you need 10 minutes. 10 minutes to do whatever. Just go stare at a wall or something. Do you know what I did? I stared at a wall for 10 minutes.
And did it help?
It was great. I came back out and I was like, I'm sorry for whatever I just said. I really don't know. Let's go do this thing. But there's a picture that she took of me staring at a wall. I didn't talk. I stared at a wall for 10 minutes. So after that, they were like, okay, like, that helped. So maybe we should give her like just some room. So like, when Gina would do my makeup, nobody, I wouldn't allow anybody else in there, because Gina.
I would also say, if I was you, that was like my personal silent time. Like,
it was.
I'd be like, I'm sorry, Gina, you're wonderful. I need you to not talk to me.
And she was great until if I wanted her to talk. Gina's my girl. And then it would like, I had breakfast by myself. And then it was like, as soon as Carrie got finished, everybody could come in.
Okay.
And so that helped a lot. So more in the mornings, there really wasn't that much time after that. I mean, it was go, go, go. Mm-hmm. I didn't sleep. It was awesome.
What was the average wake up time?
God, I can't really remember, because I never had a phone. And I asked them not to tell me. I would be like, don't even tell me. Don't tell me what time it is. Just wake me up, because I knew I was only getting like 3 to 4 hours of sleep. Oh, and I didn't even want to know what time it was.
So that was obviously adding to your breakdowns.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. until we got to like the last few places, I started getting a little bit more sleep. Mm-hmm. But the first 2-3 weeks are crazy.
They have a tendency of waking you up before you really have to wake up in like that hurry up and wait type thing. But for the Bachelorette, it's do you ever hurry? That. It's not hurry up.
It's not hurry up and wait. It's not. Most of the time your hurry up and wait on the other side is because I was having a breakdown because they were rushing me. And then I was like, you're rushing me? I need to have a chat right now. Bennett, where are you? Let's chat because I'm frustrated and you do not want me to go on this date right now. Calm down. I'm good.
Megan, one of our beloved producers is right here sitting around. Was she a troublemaker at the beginning? Was Hannah Beast out like in full force in the beginning?
The thing with me is I don't hold anything back, and I think it's actually respected because they don't have to question where I'm at in my feelings. I'm gonna say like if I have a problem, mm-hmm. I'm just like, hey, Bill, Julie, this is not working. We need to fix it. And hey, I don't need a middleman. I want to talk to the big dog myself. So I'll be like something's not working. I need to talk to him. And I think, yes, well, sometimes I have pain in the ass. And they said that they're like, you know, we knew when we chose you that you weren't going to be the easiest mm-hmm. bachelorette. Mm-hmm. You were going to be the most difficult, mm-hmm. but we knew that. But we love you. Like everybody, I'm so thankful for the producers, the handlers, the production team, everybody, because I feel so loved and they get me, they understand, they laugh with me, they talk with me. Like as much as I cause them so much crap and they probably wanted to pull every single one of their hair out of their head or they have 40 more gray hairs now, we all love each other. And I'm just so Team Bachelor. I'm Team Bachelor. I would get a tattoo that said Team Bachelor.
Aww.
Because I love them because they put up with me. They let me cry, let me have my breakdowns. But ultimately, we got it done. And I'm really proud of everything that you'll get to see.
So do you think that your difficultness was because of just like your personality and like the kind of structure you need in your life? Or do you think that the guys and there were like some like it's just like issues with the guys that were making you angry or agitated?
A little bit of both. It's hard dating 30 men. Wow. I don't know why I didn't think it was going to affect me emotionally. And then when you're having feelings for guys and everything's not going like you want it to, it's really hard. And I feel like what happened was all those emotions went into how like I reacted to the schedule or to not having enough sleep or to, oh my God, why do I have to do another interview right now? I know I nailed it the first time. Like, <Yeah. laughs> but it was really because those emotions weren't exactly dealt with like I felt like I wanted them to be at first, because my interviews were very much so narrating my story and not really getting too much into my feelings and having those breakdowns. Those breakdowns are really important for me to have my little cry session, to vent, to get it all out so that I can move forward, because I don't really hold on to things. I am one that if something makes me mad, if I'm upset, I need to talk about it. And then after I've talked about it, I like brush my hands off and I'm like, I'm done. Let's go to the next thing. We're cool now.
Did I ever tell you that a very special producer once told me that I'm a goldfish and that I would like 180 my feelings? I'd be like crying 1 second, then he'd make me laugh, and then I'd be like all better.
Yeah. Oh, and I didn't
and
know that.
And I feel
that,
like you're the same.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. Like I got to get the cry out. I'm good. And then it's like, make me laugh. Let's go do something fun. So I mean, it made for an entertainment for everyone.
So why did you think it got better after 4 weeks or so?
I think we all got in the groove. Okay. Like, I'm on a different team. Everybody is new. I mean, yes, everybody's done this before, but it's a new season, new people, new bachelorette. I was different on this side than I was as a contestant in a way. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just finally we all got on the same page with everything. But it took a little while because I had a new team that hadn't been on the Bachelor like bachelor, bachelorette lead side. And we just all had to.
You weren't
to,
like super comfortable.
No,
with,
yeah.
So just to explain to the audience, there are some bachelor producers that deal with the cast mm-hmm. and they become like your very best friends.
Very
and
best
then you
friends.
Never really get to know the producers that handle mm-hmm. the lead. And I've always wondered how you do that.
Yeah.
Because even in Paradise, I'd be like, oh, I don't want to talk to so-and-so because I don't really know them. And in Winter Games, like especially since I was like 4 years removed, you know, 4 years ingrained with some of these people, I was like, I can't talk to the new person. I won't be able to give you what you want.
Yeah. No, so I got super close with my producers when I was on Colton's season and even like Alon and like okay. I was just close with like the execs that like have other jobs to do too and can't just go into my sessions of breakdowns. But so I did not, when I got the call that it was me but I would have different producers, I was like, well, why can't this person interview me?
Yeah,
like, we had to literally have a conversation of like, I'm handing you over but I'm working to find, I know you the most, so like I want to work with your guys to help you. And so then I had to have a phone call with my new producers. And it was like a 2-hour phone call about like, I'm really struggling with this.
I'm really struggling with you being my producer.
Yeah. Like I was very honest. I was like, I'm really struggling with you being my producer and like me being able to really give you what you want. But after it took a little while and them to understand, like, I'm not like why I react some ways to certain things. But then after that, it was smooth sailing. And I am like, I love my fam. Like, I love everybody that helped me throughout the entire thing. Like, we have such a bonding experience that, like, never will take away from the people that I was close to on the other side on mm-hmm. Colton's season. But we just lived through some shit together, let me tell you. Like, yeah, we did. And so, just, I think it helped me be more successful and them be more successful at their job, really like digging in and figuring out like, all right, this is where we need to change things. Yes, maybe this is how it's been done before for 15 years, but mm-hmm. I'm an individual, I'm different, and let's do this because this is how Hannah works better. Once we did that, we're great.
Is there an example of something that they've been doing for 15 years that you were just like, hey, that doesn't work for me?
Oh my God, let me think. So I feel like I don't want to be like, oh, I'm so good at this, but like, I'm pretty good at my interviews. Like,
yeah.
I know what to say.
You're never somebody who dreaded going into interviews.
I never
Same
did
here.
Before.
Yeah.
But then on this side, when it became very like narration and I felt like words were being put in my mouth, I was like, uh-uh, ask me a question. Let me roll. I will tell you about how fun this date is. I'll be happy. I'll be excited. I'll be a little lovey-dovey. Then I'll have sass. Like, just let's make it a conversation. Don't put words in my mouth of what, like, we know that post wants to hear.
They just want it to be concise so that they can just, like, clip it and it makes sense in the episode.
But
they don't need you to, like, roll forever, but I totally get the frustration for you.
All right, we got to let her do her thing. And then it was great.
Okay, great.
Like, I loved it. It just took, I think the interviews were what we had to kind of get back on, like, okay, some people work better with us feeding of like, this is what mm-hmm. we're going to talk about. I don't need that.
Some people want the speed. Some mm-hmm. people want to get in and get out of there. And you're like, no, I need this therapy.
But honestly, I was talking to Sam and she was like, you're one that can hit all the things that we need in like 10 minutes. And so I'd be like, they'd be like, all right, we have 30 minutes after this, date that ended at 4:00. I'm like, I don't need 20 minutes. I promise you I can get it to you in 10. And I would.
Yeah.
And so like there are certain things that like I was like, I can do all this stuff to like narrate, but then give me my 30 minutes to actually process my feelings.
Totally.
So and then once we work that out, it's like, all right, we're gonna give you 10 here, 30 here. I was like, perfect. Let's do it.
Amazing.
So,
that's when you started getting rolling with it.
Yeah.
Do you see how it's been 30 minutes and how I can literally go on for another hour and a half?
I'm out. Yeah.
No, I mean, see, I just was telling her that sometimes these in-depths last for 2 hours and over. And she was like, no way. What do you talk about for that long? See?
Yeah, no, just everything. Well, I think it's you've been on this side. And so we have like this understanding.
Yeah.
And so it makes it, I don't know, like you're interested and nice. Somebody like understands. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to people who actually understand it.
Right.
It's been hard to go back. I haven't talked to hardly anybody back home because it's like, where do I even begin? You don't even know my everything. You don't know anything that's happened to me. It's really hard to get back into normal life with people who don't know this world.
Yeah. And I think that's why we get so close. Mm-hmm. Because nobody will understand what we've been through except for each other. And I remember when I got back from Crystal's this season, I think it took me 6 hours to explain the entire 4 weeks to my mom.
Took me 4 hours.
Okay, yeah. So I was like, I'll tell the first 2 weeks here and then we'll go to sleep and then I'll tell you the rest of the morning.
I said, my mom, her best friend, and then my two best friends. I said, all right, I'm doing this one time. Here we go. Block your day off, because I had my journal. And so I journaled all the time. So I had my journal. They're like, you should write that. You should make a book of your journal, because it was hilarious. Like the way that I wrote about things, but it was be so in depth, but then also have like my funny. They're like, this is amazing. I was like, I know. Do I have that for this season? No, because it was either journal, sleep, workout. And I was always sleep every time. So,
yeah, okay, of course. Have you given your parents the lowdown now? Because you didn't get back to the States until like a week ago.
Yeah.
And what I think is so crazy and I think kind of wonderful about this season is that you guys actually finished filming just a couple days before it started airing. And it's never been like
that
before.
I mean, I wasn't back when it was airing.
You weren't even back for the first day.
So I didn't even get to watch it on like actual television. I watched like an old cut.
No way.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. But I loved it because it leaves us spoiler free. I still don't know what happens in the end. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes for like us especially, I can't avoid the spoilers. Yeah. I'm going to try my very hardest to not know who you end up with or if you end up with anyone.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited and I like the way that this has happened for you. But is it weird that you haven't gotten any break because you have gone straight from filming to straight to your season airing? And how little family time have you had?
So from the end of my season, I went straight to New York to start press.
Did your parents meet you there?
No, I haven't talked. I haven't seen my parents yet. And honestly, wait, what?
She says, rub it in. Like they're awful.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But honestly, I like it because I'm used to this schedule mm-hmm. of like go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. And I think whenever I take a break, I'm going to crash.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm loving it. I'm like, here we go. Give me my go-go juice. I'm up 6 a.m. Perfect. That's like sleeping in now. You know? So I really enjoyed it. And I think my excitement from and everything so fresh that I can go into press and I can talk about it because it just happened to me. It's not like I'm having to think back of like, what was that? How did that feel? It's like I have all those feelings mm-hmm, still. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's been really great for me. I love doing press. I love talking to people about my season. And I think I get to go home in a few days for a little while, but not for long. And I'm okay with that because they're going to want to know everything. And I haven't told really anybody about the end of my season. My parents kind of know, but not everything.
Okay. So they like know who possibly, but they don't know like how you got to that decision.
They don't know really anything. Okay. And my friends, I've just told them, they keep texting me and I'm like, can't talk, so busy, love you. And then they can see, oh wait, she really is busy. But I just need time to like decompress to myself first. And then they can watch that seasons and then the whole season.
You
and
can
then
explain
I'll be like,
along the way.
Yeah, explain along the way of like, okay, this is what happened. But I don't want to do that. I want everybody to be surprised. I don't want somebody to slip up and say something. I want people to see my season the way that it kind of happened for me.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, yeah, just do it week by week then.
Yeah.
My last like serious question, because I think we usually go in reverse. We do the fun stuff first, but mm-hmm. we kind of just jumped right into it since you are like in the depths already.
Yeah.
What was like, talk about that big realization that you had. We've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. I think Demi helped you get to that point, but it was the whole, it's basically what taking the crown off symbolizes. You have like that amazing preview for your season about like how like you stripped yourself of like that pageant queen mm-hmm. Persona. And then you're just like, this is me. I am just going to be true to myself. I don't care what people think anymore. So like, tell us about how that happened and how it has progressed over your bachelor seasons.
Yeah. Well, first about the promo, like I was floored because that day
I was floored.
I was like, there's no way. Like, I don't understand this. I just look like a princess. And then when I finally watched it, I was like, all right, that was amazing.
That was the coolest thing I've ever seen them doing a preview. Yeah, you were Taylor Swift in the music video.
I feel like I had my own movie trailer, but even without all that, I feel like they really did hit the nail on the head of like the music, how everything was put together, like everything, and about just like who I am. And I feel like it kind of goes back to even like my relationships of I let other people kind of, I realized what people liked about me and like what worked. And so I would be that person in a relationship, in a room for an audience. But the thing is, people always know a little bit that something may be off. Everybody was always like, oh, she's great, she's this. But like, I was always playing for a crowd and not being completely myself because I didn't know how people would actually respond or like who I am, because they really liked the person that I crafted, but I didn't know if they would actually like me. And I feel like I like always, everybody talks about my smile. It's like almost like creepy how I smile all the time, but I've always
it's so genuine. It's always so crazy.
And it's not fake, but when I really was hurting or upset, it's almost just like natural to have a smile. And so nobody ever would ask like, are you okay? Or what's going on? Because it was just, oh my God, you seem so happy. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of lived in that for a while. And it really took me going through a depression, anxiety stuff, that I started being like, okay, what in my life is making me feel this way? Who are the people in my life that don't help? Who encourage me? And really kind of, I mean, I've always been, my faith has always been important to me, but really just like gave it all up because I tried to control everything. And then from there, I took time off being in pageants. And then when I won Miss Alabama USA, I was completely myself for the first time ever. And like, I was getting excited. I was like, they're like, Hannah, you could win. I was like, I'm already fourth runner up. This is awesome. Like, I just went on the stage and like, was myself. And I feel like once I won again, it was so easy for me to go back into, oh, people were telling me to do this, people were telling me to do that. And it wasn't as bad as it had been before, but I still let a lot of things, I lived 22 years of my life that way. So people telling me what I should and shouldn't do for something that I wanted, I allowed that to kind of affect me. And Miss USA was great for me. Like, pageants, I'm so thankful for them, but it did, pageants on top of relationships, the people I had in my life, it did really cause me to find my worth and recognition and what accolades I had, because I had been successful and then I wasn't successful. So then I felt like I wasn't worthy. And then it was like, oh, well, I got something. Okay, now I'm worthy again, you know? And then it's like, you can't live your life that way. You just can't live your life that way, because there's always going to be somebody better than you. There's always going to be times where you fail, it doesn't work out. And then you're going to have times where you're successful. But like, I have no control of that. Like, I can only be the best that I can be and be completely myself. Because when you win or when you have something and then you're like, I got that, but it doesn't feel right, because did I win or did my persona that I put together win or get?
That's what I want to know.
And I think it took losing everything that I thought my life was going to be.
Which was the pageant?
Which was married, babies, okay, with my friends. I wanted to win Miss Alabama USA 3 years before I ever did. When I won that, it was like, I was excited, but I also was like, this is not where I want to be. I wanted this 3 years ago. I want to be engaged. I want to be with how all my friends are. And then when I realized, you know what, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, I started my breakthrough. And then realized, well, being Miss Alabama, like when I got Miss Alabama USA and it didn't still feel like I thought it would feel, mm-hmm, it was like, oh, it's because my worth does not come from recognition. It's like, that doesn't make me feel, I got the thing that I wanted for years and years, but it still doesn't make me feel better. Mm-hmm. And so it took me getting it to be like, oh, wait, this is actually not satisfying. So that was really when I started like working on myself, didn't have a relationship, didn't, everything that I wanted, didn't have anymore. And then I had the thing that I wanted and it didn't feel like I thought it was going to be. And I was like, okay, this is starting to make sense. So then I just really like started focusing on who am I? Cause I don't think I know. And it was hard. Like there were days where I was like crying in my bed, like how have I lived my life like this so long? But then it was, then I started going back into the world and just being like, if you don't like this, then I don't really care. Like I want the people that are around me that love me, love me. And those are the people I want to be around. So
that continued, and the progression that you had happened a lot on the show too.
Happened a lot on the show. Just like I said, going back when I was, when Miss Alabama USA got into Miss USA, I still kind of went back into that rut for like a little bit, kind of leaned into it because it's all I knew of like other people telling me what to do. Same thing when I got into The Bachelor.
The first couple of weeks,
maybe? The first couple of weeks, I started like going back into my shell, like, oh my gosh.
The
first date with Colton. It was like, oh, I like him, but I don't even know what to say. Who am I? Do I want to show him like the real me or the one that I think he'll actually like better? And then I was like in this like middle ground of like paralyzed. And you know, I've had so much people thinking I'm a dummy, can't articulate myself, awkward. And yeah, like I was in those moments, but I can articulate myself. I am intelligent. That was just a moment for me, and it was a real moment, and it was entertaining for other people, but it was really hard for me to realize like, I don't know who I want to be right now. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it was like, okay, I'm just going to have to let go and see how people respond. And honestly, it doesn't really matter because this is my real life and I need to live my real life right now, regardless of what's about to be shown in a few months. Like this is my time to keep exploring who I am. And I'm really proud of even that for me because I did grow so much and ultimately allowed me to be here.
It was that realness that did. Mm-hmm. Crown you as the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Then you got crowned with something else. Did you have like a moment there where you hesitated? You're like, nope, I've seen how being real gets me further.
I think because I have been the producers and the people of the Bachelorette believe in me so much and really invested in me. Anytime I ever tried to do that, they were like, what are you doing? I'm like, you're right. Mm-hmm. So not really, but I had people, like I said, I picked the people in my life that loved the real me, the real Hannah, and that will encourage me. And regardless of what anybody thinks on the show, like they want my happiness first and they want this to be my story. And so I think that it was really, that's why I knew I wanted to be the Bachelorette and could be the Bachelorette because I knew I had people on my team that were going to allow it to be my story in me.
Awesome. You said that you basically created a person for 22 years of your life. Mm-hmm. Who is that person that you created and who is the person that you really are?
Like, I mean, even like in high school and stuff, like I was the Miss Perfect. Like I didn't go out. I would have fun, but not too much fun. I always had a man on by my side and
except for when you were awkward in the hallway.
Yeah, but that would be, when I was awkward in high school, not with guys, I was focused on, literally, I thought if I didn't have a 95 or above, that like life was going to be like an end all. Like I was very focused on my academia. I just pushed myself in that way. I danced, and even though I didn't even really like dancing, was also one of those things that like hurt my self-esteem. My mom wanted me to do it. Everybody told me, well, you're the dancer. So I continued to do it and like not just like have a dance class like once or twice. No, it was like 15 hours a week. That's just in the week, not with weekends, like after school. And then I would stay up till 1 a.m. to do my homework so that I made sure I got 100 on it. Like I just pushed myself, kept myself so busy, and it looked like I had everything figured out and didn't let guys or parties or anything like get blur my vision of like my path. And then started dating. And then it was like, this person, whatever they want from me, like I can be that Miss Stepford wife for them and do all this because I can be a trophy wife. So then I did that for a while. And then it was, oh, well, she's the, and then through that, like, oh, she's the pageant queen. Oh, she's so sweet. She's this and that. And like, no, am I always sweet? No, I'm not. Like, I have a good heart and I know that, but I would not show my frustration. I would not show my real feelings. And it was just, I was somebody that everybody could easily understand and take, not really myself, which is not always easy to understand or take because I don't even understand myself sometimes.
See, sweet is a word that has got me a lot, like irritated me a lot, actually, through the bachelor process, because I've always felt like the girls that come across as just sweet, they're sweet. They're the ones that like always hold look back. Really good, but they're really holding back. And the ones that are a little bit more like you and I, where we have our moments or people aren't going to like us or what we say, we have our freakouts. We don't always come across as sweet.
Mm-hmm.
We're just being real, but we're sometimes, we're only, not villainized, but like disliked at times. And yeah. I don't know. It's just like the girls who hold back get the better, look better.
It was really hard for me because I was like, I was being my, like completely myself, and everybody was having those freakouts. They just did it in the bathroom for a second and came back out. But it's like, kind of like I said, like it's my real life. I'm not an actress. This is reality TV, and I was mic'd 24/7 on camera 24/7, and I was not going to allow myself to tap back into that person that really caused me a lot of sadness and emptiness just so that I could be the sweet girl on TV that I knew I could have been. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where I struggled a lot in that first one-on-one with Colton, because I was like, I know what I could do that would keep me safe, but I also am not that, and I don't know what to do. And you know, regardless of all the mean things that have been said, the things that people think that I am that I'm not, people that I'll never win over just because they just want to hate me, I'm so thankful that I was my real self. Like, that's why I grew. And I don't know if everybody grows the way that I did through the process.
I'm not going to try to get gossipy or anything, but I'm going to for a second. Kaylin, and you are probably those people that we'll never see eye to eye. You're probably never going to be best friends.
Mm-hmm.
She posted a picture on your premiere day that said, eating the chip off my shoulder. Do you think that was a dig?
Oh, for real? Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't know. I mean, I don't know. We can...
That's it.
Wow. I don't know.
We could just not know.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't... You know, at this point, it's like, who cares in a way? Like, whatever she says, like, I'm like, I truly am like, wish her the best. And if she wishes me the best, great. If she doesn't, it's okay. Because at this point, we don't have to be together, or we can. And I'm fine being in a room with her. I'm fine not being in a room with her. Like, I don't really hold anything against her anymore. And I hope she doesn't with me. Like, we're good. And this was, you know, I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know either.
Weird.
Okay. So let's get into your guys now. I think you kiss more guys on your, like, between 48 hours of being the bachelorette than you ever had in your life before.
Yeah.
Was it 48 hours or was it night one?
Night one, I kissed 3 guys.
We saw them all, right? We saw all 3 kisses?
Yeah, we saw all 3 kisses. Okay. And then, yeah, in 48 hours, definitely. I mean, it'd be so funny. They'd be like, all right, Hannah, you're up to 12. And I'd be like, oh my
goodness. And how many was it before you were the bachelorette?
I think like 5 or 6. I think 6.
I think that's what I was at about 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, most of them were my boyfriend or no. Yeah. I think I only kissed like 1 guy that wasn't my boyfriend, but we were like talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how that and make now, you feel? Like, did you feel weird?
It felt really weird. Yeah. At first I was like, it was hard for me, honestly, because I would have moments of like, oh my God, I can't believe I kissed them.
Did you kiss guys that you didn't really want to kiss? Like, they just kind of went in for it?
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of the hardest part.
That's the hardest part. Because, like, you have to be in a relationship with multiple people, and sometimes you're not feeling some of the people there as much as you're feeling another person, but you are technically dating them. And so it's really, it was hard sometimes, but you can kind of tell the difference of my kisses when I'm really feeling somebody and when I'm not. You're like, okay.
Yeah. You. The kiss with Luke P on night one was intense.
Oh my God.
It was really intense, but it was good. My sister and I are watching it. She goes, those aren't the kisses you have once you're in a relationship. Enjoy them now. Your guys got a lot of flack, especially when their green pictures came out.
Okay, yeah.
You weren't even around.
Yes,
you weren't even around. Your guys got a lot of flack during your first week of filming, so you weren't around for social media.
Yeah.
But everybody's looking at their pictures and like, oh my goodness, these guys don't look like bachelorette material. These guys look like, I kept saying, like they picked 30 guys that were in line for a hot dog at a football game. But then we saw their gray pictures and they looked better. Mm-hmm. And then on night one, they looked better. But I still was like, I don't know about this bunch they got for Hannah. I was like, I really don't know. There's like a good 3 or 4 in there. How did you honestly feel after Chris said, Hannah, those are all your guys?
Be honest.
I mean, I didn't realize it had been 30 guys. I was having the most fun. Oh my God. It was so fun. The limo entrances. Like, I didn't realize. And so I was like, oh, wait, that's it? That's what I said. I was like, oh, that's them. Okay. And honestly, I had to let it go, but I didn't really like a lot of their fashion. And that was the first thing I would notice. I was like, I was like, okay, their faces are cute, but like, they have some serious fashion issues.
I'm not even a fashion girl. Like, I don't get, like, I don't understand, like, being obsessed with it. But I've noticed that it was bad.
It was bad.
I was like, why can't every guy just wear, like, a nice dark blue suit or a black suit with a black tie or a blue tie, blue-gray tie? They were all trying to be wacky with their fashion, and their faces weren't looking that great in them. And then episode 2 came around, and I was like, these guys in their casual clothes without their hair ridiculously done.
I know.
They look so much better.
Trust me, I felt the same way. Okay. I was like, the first night I was a little bit like, okay.
A guy's outfit can really change the way his face looks.
Yeah, so it did. It was like a butt his face. But
a butt his face?
But in the opposite way. I was like, oh my God, what? I need to help them so much. But like, this is them, and like, oh, this is scary. But then after we started having dates, and I was like, okay, all right, I can deal with this. This is good. This is good.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, yeah, there were some that I was like, interesting. But I will say, like, I want an attractive guy. I want them to be attractive, but I am okay with, like, they don't have to be like a supermodel or anything. Like, I just want them to have a good heart and be fun. And so I think that was a lot of my guys too, but it did. It was more of like a growing to be attracted to some of them.
Okay.
Truthfully.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like your honesty.
Yeah. I can't help it. Like, I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't say that, but I can't help it. Like, I don't know how to not be honest about certain things. So yeah, the first night I was a little bit worried.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Love it. Second night, I felt so much better for you.
I felt better. I was like, okay, they look cute in their normal clothes.
Yeah. You don't like guys that have necessarily a sense of mystery. You don't like hard to get. We don't have to watch you too much to know that you like a guy who is aggressive and forthcoming about his feelings.
Yeah.
So you didn't think that Luke P was a little bit too early with his feelings? Because you had the biggest grin. You loved hearing every word of what he was saying to you early on, within 48 hours of really knowing you. Do you think that you've gotten like less naive throughout this process, or are you just like somebody who wants to hear those words?
Okay. I feel like with Luke, especially those first night, I think it kind of went back to my past of the guy that I dated for forever. I didn't know how he was feeling a lot. He was mysterious, and it hooked me hook, line, and sinker. For a while. Then I dated the next guy that I was really that I did love. And he was more like, I want to pursue you. I know it hasn't been that long since your last relationship. I don't care. Like, I want to pursue you. And that relationship for me, and like, he was very like our faith aligned. That was a relationship that I realized, okay, there are guys like this out there that don't like beat around the bush about their intentions. Like, I want to know somebody's here for me. Mm-hmm. And that was like what I learned from that relationship, from my, that could be like something that I wanted. And I feel like when Luke was just like, hey, this is how I feel about you. I'm really into you. I was into him. And I liked that he was just like, look, like, I like you. I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. If there was anybody else here, I wouldn't be here. And I wanted to know that. And I think also it came from some insecurity of, I feel like I was the dark horse as the bachelorette. And to know that somebody truly wanted it to be me, mm-hmm, was like almost like a sigh of relief of like, okay, this person really, and 1000% that was true about Luke. Like it was a lot, but like he meant every word he was saying. And yeah, it gave me hope for the rest of the season. I feel like of like, okay, like this could work. And like the first night they didn't show it as much, but we really did talk about like our faith a lot. And that was like the biggest thing that I needed to know first and foremost, that there was somebody that had the same ideas and faith that I did. So that was like another thing. I was like, okay. And then he just like was adamant about like coming up to me and talking to me. And I want that.
You want that.
I don't want somebody to just sit in a corner and by the meatballs and be like, whatever, you know, like I want to be like, no, you're freaking here for me. I want to know. Mm-hmm. So I think I need a good mixture, but I ultimately think it came from a few insecurities of not knowing if these guys really were here for me or were hoping it was somebody else. Because after the final rose, they were already there before I was announced.
That's right. So you weren't sure whether or not these guys were going to be happy that you were the bachelorette, because they were already sitting in the hotel room waiting to hear who their bachelorette was. They were signed up regardless.
So they were signed up regardless. And so to have somebody like Luke be like, if it was any, like, I'm so pumped, like, it was really great. And as soon as I saw him after the final rose, it was like, who do you like? I was like, I mean, they were all awesome, but there was just something about Luke that I was really excited to see. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah. And you also are so physically attracted to him, like right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
In episode 2, we see you shirtless. He's shirtless. I feel like this is probably a moment that you were not looking forward to having to watch back.
Well, it depends on how everything goes, but it was, you know, I blush a little bit when I watch it. I'm like,
say this because you got caught by Jed, and I think that you probably were like, oh man, when I did this, I didn't think I was going to be caught by anyone.
Oh, that was probably ooh, I got lit after that. I was like, why did this just happen? I really liked Luke. I really liked Jed. And I was like, that's not okay. It looks like it was something more than it was. Like, this is not cool. And I was like, don't mess with my guys. Like, don't mess with him. But then Jed handled it like a freaking rock star. Like,
oh, amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, so adorable. He's like, I guess it's really crazy how many guys are, you know, I'm fighting with you for.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was... That was a really hard moment for me. Like, ooh, so mad.
So basically, you're going to have to come back again. Right now, as we've seen it, Luke is a front runner.
Who do you feel like are my front runners?
I feel like I really like Peter,
mm-hmm.
I like Connor S,
mm-hmm.
and I like Jed. Those mm-hmm. are my three favorites for you. I think everybody was not shocked, but sad to see Matt Donald go on night one.
Jeez.
can you believe how much attention that got?
No.
It was kind of like Grocery Store Joe, but like, let's be real. He's not Grocery
he's
Store
not
Joe.
He's not Grocery Store Joe. And everybody's been giving me heck about that. But I want to say, I got really excited about the tractor. I was like, if somebody comes out in a tractor and I got a farmer or a hot, sexy country boy, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. And then I see him, I'm like, oh my God, I think your tractor's sexy. And then come to find out, he had never been on a tractor and didn't have a farm. And I was like, what other lies are you going to tell me through this thing?
There you go.
That was the reason. But then he's so, like, when I was watching the episode back, like, such a sweet guy, just not my guy, you know? Okay. Mm-hmm. Same with Chasen. Like,
Chasen was the other one eliminated night one. Yeah. I was like, why'd you eliminate those two? Because they seem to have potential, but.
They did. There's a lot of stuff, you know, it's. Ultimately, the first night is really hard to decide because I don't know these jokers. Like, I have no idea. I don't know. I'm just kind of just guessing
Another big thing that got a lot of attention night one is the fact that Luke didn't give you his jacket when you said you were called.
Do you know why?
Did he say, I thought that you didn't want to ruin your outfit with his ugly jacket?
Well, he did have a box. He wore a square jacket, but also... It's about continuity. I'll just be honest. Like, they need to have their jacket on and I need to be in my pretty dress. And so even though I was freezing, they're not really allowed to give me their jackets because they need to look fresh.
Did he offer it though?
He did offer it. Oh, like 14 times.
Told.
14 times every guy offered me. Because I mean, I guess you can't tell as much, but I'm literally like shivering in every conversation. And they were like, I feel so bad. I'm so sorry. But that was the one they showed me being like, I'm cold. He did offer me his jacket. I just said, your jacket's really going to mess up my outfit.
Okay, so I want to go back to those guys. Those four guys are ones that I really feel strongly for. Strongly for on behalf of you. I also really like Tyler G. Tyler G looks more like Jared than I ever thought.
It's so weird.
The bone structure is so weird. Like the cheekbones and the jawline.
The eyes.
Yeah, and the eye shape. It's so weird. But he would talk about undercover. I didn't notice him until your first date with him.
Yeah.
Cutie.
Yeah, he's really cute. And I really enjoyed my time with him.
Okay.
All I can say.
And I think everybody looked at those pictures initially and the first night. Everybody was talking about Tyler C. He looks like an F boy. He looks like, you know, he looks like that.
So I'll say he didn't talk to me the first night and I was like, okay, he's good looking. And then when he didn't talk to me the first night, I was like, oh, you're on my freaking radar. But I was like,
he didn't talk to you the first night.
Well, I didn't talk to eight guys.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's the most that's ever been talked to.
Ever talked to. Because when I'm in a conversation, obviously like now, I'm like, I wasn't doing the whole thing. Like, what's your favorite color? I was like, invested. I'm very invested when I'm in a conversation with somebody. I want them to feel comfortable. And it was all about, for me, the first night, making them feel comfortable because I felt comfortable. And so, yeah, I talked to the guys longer and it was just, we just ran out of time. I also had a really funny story to tell you.
Scott issue. Okay, really funny story time and then we're going to have to wrap it up.
I should tell her about Marcus.
I think so too.
You're going to love this.
Okay.
So another reason why I got, y'all are about to love this. This is hilarious. Okay. So another reason why it took me so long was because I had to get touch-ups a lot because I was on Accutane.
Your nose.
Oh, well, my nose always is red after every kiss or just when I, every time, just for everything. So my nose for sure, but I was on Accutane. I talk very openly about my
acne. Your skin looks unbelievable now.
Thank you. And it was great. It was amazing. Well, of course, my first night, I start growing a bump on my face. And it was really small. And they were like, it's fine. Like, it'll cover up. And I was like, okay. This freaking joker grew at an astronomical rate throughout the night. So we named it Marcus. Okay. And Marcus, why we named it Marcus is because before I knew all the guys, we would like talk about like scenarios, and Marcus was the guy that like you didn't like, that wouldn't go away, that was like the annoying guy. There was Marcus and Mikey, and you didn't want to be Marcus or Mikey.
But these aren't real guys in your
group.
These
aren't real guys. These were just like before I knew the guys' names or whatever, we would like be talking about scenarios, and it was like Marcus and Mikey. So like Marcus would be the gun that did this. So when my zit came, we named it Marcus. Okay. So this thing, it literally, what you can even see it, it grew and grew and grew. And it was like, Marcus, go away. So after I sent Scott home, or I let him out, I went back to the room. I mean, I went back and I was like, you have to powder Marcus. Like, he is going out of control right now. He's white now. He wasn't white. Why is he white? Can I pop him? No, because he'll bleed. It was terrible. So I'm talking about Marcus after I left Scott and I walked back in the room and I went, well, Marcus is a piece of shit to all the guys.
Oh my God. Instead of Scott.
And I hear my producer and I just start talking and they all had this like really weird look on their face because I didn't even catch it. And I had my producer go, it's Scott. And I was like, or Scott, whatever. His name's irrelevant.
That's awesome.
So I yelled Marcus. I yelled Marcus to all the guys. And then for weeks on, people would be like, yeah, who's Marcus? And I'd be like, it doesn't matter. So I called Scott the name of my zit, which actually made sense.
It makes so much sense. He's a pussy, gross guy.
But yeah, so it was so funny. When I got home, that thing was ready to go. It was incredible. But I was so upset. I was like, of course. The night that was so important to me, I haven't had acne in forever. Like, I was like, this is my moment.
That's how it happens.
I had this huge Marcus zit start forming.
I used to have a cyst that would just blow up every time. I'd be like, I have to text him. I'm going to text him. I'm going to see him. And then I'd call it, like, his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's the something's it. But yeah, I was really, really flattered when they asked me if there was somebody to inject your zit that day.
Yes.
I was like, I'm so glad
that
I could hook her up with an injector, even though you didn't see that person, but it's all good. I felt flattered.
Ashley helped me get rid of Marcus.
Because I wanted to help you on your big first week. Yeah. Anyway, okay, I know you have other iHeart interviews you have to run to, but Hannah, this has been the most incredible. You're going to have to come back because we're going to have more fun.
So much fun. We
need
have
more
to.
Fun. This is so, you're the best. You're
Thanks.
So great.
You're
and
the
thank
best.
Thank you for all your stories. And we cannot wait to continue watching your season and see what happens.
I know, I'm excited too.
And I didn't even grill you about your guys and like talk about what your face looked like. Okay. All right. Bye, Hannah. Thank you.
Bye.